From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns concludes a series on Paul's epistle to the Colossians. As we've seen during these past weeks, this epistle sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Dr. Cairns will be with us in a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy a devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text comes from Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 19. The voice of weeping shall be no more heard. The glorified weep no more, for all outward causes of grief are gone. There are no broken friendships nor blighted prospects in heaven. Poverty, famine, peril, persecution, and slander are unknown there. No pain distresses, no thought of death or bereavement saddens. They weep no more, for they are perfectly sanctified. No evil heart of unbelief prompts them to depart from the living God. They are without fault before his throne, and are fully conformed to his image. Well may they cease to mourn who have ceased to sin. They weep no more, because all fear of change is past. They know that they are eternally secure. Sin is shut out, and they are shut in. They dwell within a city which shall never be stormed. They bask in a sun which shall never set. They drink of a river which shall never dry. They pluck fruit from a tree which shall never wither. Countless cycles may revolve, but eternity shall not be exhausted. And while eternity endures, their immortality and blessedness shall coexist with it. They are forever with the Lord. They weep no more, because every desire is fulfilled. They cannot wish for anything which they have not in possession. Eye and ear, heart and hand, judgment, imagination, hope, desire, will, all the faculties are completely satisfied. And imperfect as our present ideas are of the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, yet we know enough by the revelation of the Spirit that the saints above are supremely blessed. The joy of Christ, which is an infinite fullness of delight, is in them. They bathe themselves in the bottomless, shoreless sea of infinite beatitude. That same joyful rest remains for us. It may not be far distant. Ere long the weeping willow shall be exchanged for the palm branch of victory, and sorrow's dewdrops will be transformed into the pearls of everlasting bliss. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, For we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing.
Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've made mention of Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does a good God allow suffering? Or, what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips are available on the ltbsradio.com website. But in addition, we're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. With today's program, Dr. Cairns concludes this series of studies in the Epistle to the Colossians. Dr. Cairns is addressing the subject of living in the experience of God's power. The text is chapter 1, verse 29, where Paul says, "Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." Paul is speaking here of his labors to produce fully mature Christians. As Dr. Cairns has been explaining, the first way in which God's people experience God's power is in salvation. Then, believers experience the power of God in their lives in the process of sanctification. Also, God works confession in his people, whereby they come to say the same thing about sin as the Lord says. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit works conformity to Christ in believers as he produces in them the fruit of the Spirit. All of this leads to Christians experiencing the hope they have in Christ and victory over sin. This process culminates in believers experiencing God's power in them for service. Believers have the great privilege of being co-laborers with Christ in carrying out God's will on earth. And now to bring God's Word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
God's people not only experience God's power working in them in salvation, and God's power working in them in sanctification, but God's people experience God's power working through them in service. And I think really that's the primary meaning of Paul's words in the text when he says he's laboring, striving according to the working of God, which works in him mightily. You see, what Paul was claiming for himself was what was true of the Lord Jesus. Remember, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. That really shook them. They were used to learned preachers. The preachers, the speakers, the Sanhedrin leaders, the great Pharisee leaders, the rabbis of the Jews, they were so learned. They make our scholars today look like intellectual pygmies. You're talking about a bunch of men who from memory could reconstruct practically the entirety of the Hebrew text. You're talking about men who knew not only the meaning of a word and the usage of a word, but could recite to you every place it occurred, when and why it occurred. They were men of immense learning. The Jews were used to that. But when Jesus came, though he was more learned than all of them put together, what struck the people was that his word was with power. There was a living power within it. Now that can be so with a learned preacher. This is not to denigrate the learning. It may be so with a learned preacher, but what I'm saying is that let us never substitute anything in the service of God for the power of the Holy Ghost. The apostles were deeply conscious that they labored by no power of their own. You remember how before his ascension, the Lord Jesus gave them the promise of power. Acts 1 verse 8, "Ye shall receive power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you." The apostles realized nothing less than that power could be sufficient for their task. As Paul went to Corinth, as no doubt you've heard many preachers say, he was discouraged in heart. He said, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." When he wrote to the Thessalonians, perhaps his earliest of all letters, to his new converts there, he says, "Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance." And that's why they shook the world. That's why they shook the world. Paul said in Romans 15, 19, that by the power of the Spirit of God, he went from Jerusalem round about unto Illyricum and fully preached the gospel of Christ by the power of the Spirit of God. That's what shook the world. And it did shake it. And it did change it. Do you remember the enemies of the apostle says? They described them as these that have turned the world upside down. I'm going to remind you of a great outline on that text. I used it when I was preaching through the life of Paul. There was an old Methodist preacher. He may not have been too terribly learned, but he took that text. They turned the world upside down. And his first point was, the world's the wrong way up. Second, it needs turning upside down. Third, we are the men to do it. Great outline. You wouldn't say terribly theological, but I want to tell you, that breed of Methodist preachers did turn the world upside down. And no matter what your sociological historians tell you, let me tell you the real story of Europe in the days immediately after the Methodist revival, when the rest of Europe was in a ferment, when Italy and France were being pulled apart by internal dissension. England, with all the same sociological needs, pressures, and distresses. England was moved with a mighty spirit of revival, and that's the reason, not because of its superior politicians. As the Americans found out in the 18th century, England was not overblessed with many superior politicians. That's why this country came into being as it did. You were dealing with a bunch of pin-headed nincompoops, and the only man among them who could have done a good job in the providence of God was laid aside with temporary insanity. Don't know if you knew that little bit of English history, but now you do. The Earl of Chatham, the Elder Pitt. What saved them? Men like those Methodist preachers, oh, they were denigrated. They were disgusting to the Episcopalian aristocracy. How can Wesley and Whitfield allow untrained, uneducated men? By the way, many of them became better educated than the Episcopalian ministers. They were educated in God's Word. Many of them were men of great intellect. You see, the opportunity for going to college was not very widespread. And you always draw a distinction between education and intelligence. But not to go down that line. They actually were not altogether foolish men. But some of them knew very little. They certainly could read no Greek or Hebrew. In many cases, some of them could, but in many cases. In fact, some of them were quite challenged to read English. And it was a scandal to allow men like this to get up and preach. But preach they did. And they turned the world upside down. I've often mentioned to you the life story of Billy Bray, the king's son. Many of you still have never read it. And I'm telling you, you've missed one of the classics of Christian biography. Just a little book. You'll have to get it secondhand, I think, unless it's been republished. I didn't know it. Cornish miner. I don't agree with his theology. Way off the wall, an Arminian in the extreme. But I want to tell you, Billy Bray knew God. And God knew Billy Bray. You read his life story, you'll spend half the time laughing. It was the day he was coming to preach, or coming home from preaching, I should say. It was midnight. Coming through a forest. Dark and eerie. And some of his enemies thought, we'll make a right fool of Billy Bray. And so they got a big sheet over them and they got away in among the trees. And as Billy was coming along, they came out and they appeared about 10 yards in front of him. They said, oh, Billy, I'm the devil and I've come to get you. And Billy said immediately, hallelujah, I never thought he was that far away from me. He's the man who said, if you stuff me in a barrel, I'll shout hallelujah through the bunghole. And he did. But it wasn't all talk. Billy Bray labored in the mines and then labored in the deeper mines of reaching the souls of men. Hadn't a cent to his name, but he built churches. He's only one. I give you a list of Methodist preachers. Men who turned the world upside down for God. The world's the wrong way up. It needs turning upside down. Can we honestly say we are the men to do it? We need this power of God. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But remember, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. God works in his people and through them in their service to reach others for Christ. God can use you. God may not make you a Billy Bray or a C.H. Spurgeon. God may not make you a preacher. He may not make you a lecturer, a professor, or a teacher. But God can use you where you are. God can flow through you if you're willing to be a servant of God, if you're willing to sell out to him, if you're willing to be a vehicle of his power, if you're willing to reach the end of self. Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated unto thee. If that's your prayer, you can, full of the Holy Ghost and power, you can be used of God in the place where the Lord puts you. Do you realize that to this day, it seems very, very much out of date, out of character for the day in which we live, but to this day, one, if not the most, but one of the most prolific ways the Lord has of reaching the lost and bringing them to Christ is with humble Christians handing out good gospel literature, just handing it out. They don't always see the fruit of their labor. They are not always the ones to do the pointing to Christ. But what does that matter? It's not for the glory of man, this. This is for the glory of God. You can be used. There's power available for you, not only to live in holiness, but to serve the Lord with blessing. Living in the experience of God's power. That is genuine Christianity. Anything else is a sham. May God teach us reality. And let us live in the experience of his saving, sanctifying, and enabling power. Let's bow together in prayer. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, and God of love, we own thy power to save, that power by which our Savior rose victorious o'er the grave. Father in heaven, exercise that power by thy gracious Holy Spirit to the saving of the lost, to the restoring of the backslidden. O God, use thy power in the sanctification of thy people and in filling and enabling us to serve thee acceptably. God, answer prayer and give fruit for the preaching of thy holy word. And now, Lord, we pray, grant that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, the blessed communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit may be the portion of all thy people today and until the Lord Jesus either calls us home or comes again in all his glory. We pray, giving thee thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.